Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
The beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed our last and greatest messenger, in my opinion. And of course, in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine leader, teacher, and guide, reminder, comforter, and warner, it is my distinct honor to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam, sister.
Thank you. Thank you. And we are so honored to be back with you this Monday night with our host, Brother Kareem, on Conscious Black Nation. And I just want to say I want to thank the listening audience, those of you who are gathered in the chat rooms, as well as those of you who are gathered on the phone. Thank you for taking your precious time out to be with us here tonight. And I see some familiar faces out there in the chat room, so don't be surprised if I call up on you, because I told y'all in the beginning of this year, really want to hear your voices. So I'm coming for you. Trust and believe that. And so before we get started, allow me to introduce our host, my brother, my friend, VP of Nation Building Movement, but he's a gentleman, he's a brother, and he's a diamond amongst the FOI. Brother Kareem Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. How are you this evening, first?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. All praises to Allah. I'm well, sir. And yourself?
I'm just fine. All praises indeed are due to Allah. I mean, that's the way it has to be. And, you know, I've often heard, you know, when people say, when you say you fine, that means you frustrated, irrational, neurotic, and emotional. Well, I don't believe that necessarily has to be the case, because when I say I'm fine, and I believe when you say that you are fine, we're talking about being fully intelligent, nurtured, and energetic.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, I'm all of those things, that's for sure. I might be minus a little voice, but, hey, trust and believe me, the fire is here.
Yes, ma'am, all praises due to Allah. And if I recall, we have our dear brother Reginald on the line with us.
Yes,
that is correct,
we have future student minister Reginald on the line, because the brother teaches hard.
Wait a minute. All right. All praises be to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Queen, for making my spirit just jump and jump and jump and keeping my passion for the truth going and for the passion for rescuing and saving our family and bringing them to the truth teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through and to the Most Honorable, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in the name of Almighty God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, whose proper name is Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, whom all praises are eternally due. I, Father, thank Allah for searching and finding one among us, the lost found members here in the wilderness of North America, who was stolen from the motherland of what is now called Africa. The scriptures refer to him as the begotten of them that slept, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ and Messiah. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the great eternal leader and preacher of freedom, justice, and equality. And lastly, but nowhere near the least, I would like to thank Almighty God Allah over and over and over again for allowing the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to place in his seat a man who was a true friend and consistent champion on delivering the truth that he got from his spiritual father. And that man, that wise man, that great master teacher is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I would like to thank and greet all of you for listening in the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in Arabic language, Assalam. Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, all praise is due to Allah.
Well,
as anyone that knows me and they know this particular program and indeed Nation Building Network, period, we don't waste time getting into our subject and our topic. But as always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, in the name of his last and greatest messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder, Our topic tonight is entitled Murdering the Devil. That's right, we said murdering the devil. And our topic is taken from Lost Found Muslim Lesson Number 1, Point Number 10, in which the question is asked, why does Muhammad and any Muslim murder the devil? What is the duty of each Muslim in regards to four devils? What reward does a Muslim receive by presenting the four devils at one time? The answer is because he is 100% wicked and will not keep and obey the laws of Islam. His ways and actions are like a snake of the grafted type. So Muhammad learned that he could not reform the devils, so they had to be murdered. All Muslims will murder the devil because they know he is a snake, and also if he be allowed to live, he would sting someone else. Each Muslim is required to bring four devils, and by bringing and presenting four at one time, his reward is a button to wear on the lapel of his coat, also a free transportation in the holy city Mecca to see Brother Muhammad. And that's where our subject is taken from. But now, to lay some groundwork here, to lay some foundation for this, we want to start in the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, Surah or chapter number 2, ayat of verse 30, in where Allah states, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, we seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And when thy Lord said to the angels, I am going to place a ruler in the earth, they said, wilt thou place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? And we celebrate thy praise and extol thy holiness. He said, surely I know what you know not. Further into the Quran, we go to Surah or chapter 7, verses or ayat 11 through 18, which reads, and we indeed created you, then we fashioned you, then we said to the angels, make submission to Adam. So they submitted except Iblis, or Iblis. He was not of those who submitted. He said, what hindered thee that thou didst not submit when I commanded thee? He said, I am better than he. Thou hast created me of fire, while him thou didst create of dust. He said, then get forth from this state, for it is not for thee to behave proudly therein. Go forth, therefore, surely thou art of the abject one. He said, respite me till the day when they are raised. He said, thou art surely of the respited one. He said, as thou hast adjudged me to be erring, I will certainly lie in wait for them in thy straight path. Then I shall certainly come upon them from before them and from behind them and from their right and from their left, and thou wilt not find most of them thankful. He said, get out of it, despised, driven away. Whoever of them will follow thee, I will certainly fill hell with you all. Then from the King James Version of the Bible, we want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7, in which it states, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And then Romans chapter 7, verse 19, in where it states, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And so we're going to move very swiftly in here, and I'm coming to you first, Brother Reginald. The first question is, in your view, from your understanding, what is a devil? Brother Reginald?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you for the question, brother. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was on mute. Well, thank you for the question once again. And the answer that I would answer it this way. The devil is the one or ones who are in complete rebellion to the will and the way of Almighty God Allah. The devil is the enemy of the children of the righteous. He is the enemy of truth. He is the enemy of peace. He is the enemy of equality, justice, freedom. And he is definitely the enemy of the black man and woman, especially here in North America.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due. Wa alaikum salam. And Queen Aziza.
Huh? What?
Yes, ma'am. I need some balance here. I got to have some balance. So, the course, same question to you, from your understanding, what is a devil?
Well, you know, outside of the grafted one, you know who we're talking about. It is the characteristics that make him up. And so the biggest devil that all of us face, in my opinion, is deceptive intelligence, which we use to rationalize ill behavior. So that is your biggest devil, because when you're talking about working out your salvation, you are one decision away from being righteous or unrighteous. So when deceptive intelligence kicks in and makes you feel comfortable or murders your self-accusing spirit that allows you to go forward and do something in opposition of Allah, that's a devil. So to me, more so than anything, we can talk about the characteristics of being lost, you know, deceivers, you know, hypocrites or whatever. But when we're talking about us and what's embedded within our minds, because Jesus says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if
That's
we
right.
are walking around with evil minds, then that is devil. So to me, in all aspects, devil is more so identified in deceptive intelligence, more so than in type of people. That's my opinion, Brother Kareem. And you caught me off guard.
Yes,
thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you.
And Brother Kareem, if I can expound on that, Brother Kareem, just to bring out one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, the gospel, with our great prophet Jesus speaking, as he was talking to the enemies of our Father, he said to them in John 8:44-45, these are his words. Not yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, he said these words: ye are of your father the devil. And now, he's going to break it down as what a devil does. He goes on to say, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that right there is a definition coming straight from Jesus of what a devil is. A liar, a deceiver, and a murderer. So the question that you posed in the very beginning, why must we murder the devil? Well, it's called reciprocity. He has been murdering us for years, and God says, vengeance is mine. So we must murder the devil, like the sister said. There's a devil on the outside, and we're not spooks, and there's a devil on the inside. And we must constantly battle both of them, because we have to, at this point, definitely more crucial. This is a crucial time. We have to rid the devil from inside so that we can prepare ourselves from the wiles of Satan and his last-minute tricks that he's using to have us go down with him in the lake of fire or to be hit by some of the forces that Almighty God Allah is bringing upon him. So we must be prepared to know who and what the devil is. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much, Richard.
Yes, sir. Be to Allah.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, now, and since I asked you all that question, and since I'm here and we're dealing with this, then I'm going to answer the question myself based on the lessons and the teachings, but also based on you all's input, because this is right on point. We're moving right in the direction that Allah would have us go for that understanding. The question is asked in Lost Mind Muslim Lesson number 2, point 33. What is devil? And the answer is given: a grafted man which is made weak and wicked. That's the first part of the answer. Then there's a comma. It says, or any grafted live germ from original is devil. Now, I went to Merriam-Webster, and they had a whole lot of stuff, so I had to trim the fat off of what they were talking about. And they defined devil as an evil spirit. Of course, that was their first definition. Then it goes on to say an extremely wicked person, great evil. The difficult, notice the next word, deceptive. Is any bells ringing? Or problematic part of a thing or person, a lie. From the Latin, diabolus, slanderer. And that's their definition of devil. And now, from what we've already shared and what we've established, so I would say, in my view, that for what we have, a devil is just that. It is deceptive intelligence. A devil, it says, you notice the language, it says, any grafted live germ from original is devil. So if the nature of us as black people, if the nature of the human being, as we were taught, our brains were created to think right. But if we've been taken out of that nature, if we've been taken and placed in a position where now we think in such manner that it's totally wrong, but we believe, or we are deceiving ourselves into believing our behavior is correct, then I would humbly state that if we're operating like that, then that would make us devil. But it's just a thought. All right, I'm going to come to you again, Brother Reginald.
Yes, sir.
And our second question, and I mean, of course, we're working together. Why did God make devil?
Thank you for the question, brother. God,
yes,
in my humble opinion, made the devil because he wanted to rid us of that one negative that was in us, that rebellion that was inside of us. You know, our ancient fathers, they began to worship deities, and they were polytheists, and that's really against our belief. We are not of the polytheists. But we had this imperfection within us that God wanted to remove from us so that we can be a perfected people. And as he mentions in the Quran, I have perfected for you your religion, and it is Islam. Now, Islam might not necessarily be a religion, but it's a way of life that deals with science in mathematics, in entire submission to the will of Almighty God Allah. So he allowed the devil to be placed in as a ruler in the earth, and I can't be exact because he did say in the Quran when he was speaking to the creators of the devil, which they kindly said, we extol your greatness, we appreciate you, and I'm paraphrasing, we appreciate what you're doing, God, and we believe in everything you do, but what would you place in the earth besides that that would create mischief in the shedding of blood? And Allah, he said, I know what you know not. So I'm going to try to answer the question based on what I think, not what I know, because I can never put myself on the same level as Allah. But due to the fact of our submitting to other gods, our savage behavior that was going on, God used that to wash us. He put us in the furnace of affliction. And what better way to do that besides to put something that is on earth that isn't even a real man but is a mankind, you know, kind of a man. And so that we can have something to measure our downfall against, so we would never have to go through this ever again because we know what it caused. We have been going through this horrible rule of the devil for 6,000 years. We came up out of the 6,000 years in the year 1914. This is 2014. We are 100 years removed from that. So that means that this is even more of a critical hour, because if you take the 100 and you remove the zeros, in computer mathematical language, the zero is equal to falsehood, and the one is equal to truth. And there's one on the scene right now that has perfected his father's religion, I mean his father's teaching that was really nearly correct. He has perfected, and he is the one who is guiding us with the time and what must be done. So we can be ready and not have an excuse anymore. It's no excuse. The white man's oppression and everything he's doing is not an excuse for us not to get on the ball and do what we need to do in this work of salvation and saving our people. So if we fail to do that, just like the minister always says, then the blood, their blood is going to be on our hands. And we don't want that. We want to wash ourselves clean by effortlessly going out and regaining our people to truth, because there are a lot of people right now that are lost. They are lost because they've been taught truth with falsehood for the majority of their life. And because of that, they have failed and they have went astray. So it is our job to get our people back on the path of righteousness, to have them seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, so that they can be prepared, can be worthy to be in that number of the hereafter or the kingdom of God, where he says he will wipe all things out and everything will be made new. So nobody will be the same anymore. Nobody. So be prepared for the judgment that we are currently up under to get worse. And if it's going to get worse, that means you have to get better in your submission. And you have to get all the evil out, and you have to be ready. Because our babies, as a matter of fact, are being kidnapped and beaten down in the streets and killed, i.e. Trayvon Martin, you know, on the Stand Your Ground law, you know, and other young black men that are being killed and shipped off to the prisons and you know, this new form of slavery is slavery with just another face and another name, and people don't realize what's going on. And not to mention that, our people are really being institutionalized because of what the devil is placing on them. So we are going through the furnace of affliction because we are a great nation. We are a powerful people, and we have risen to the top. That's what we are doing. We are the cream of the universe, and we're going to rise to the top. And in rising to the top, you're going to be forced with trials and tribulations. But we're not going to give the devil any credit. We're going to X him out, and we're going to give all the credit to Almighty God, Allah, because he is in control, always has been, and he's never left us alone, and never will he ever. And that's my answer. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. All Ooh, praise be to Allah. Well, Queen Aziza, I'm going to
Don't ask me
ask
nothing.
To,
I'm not going behind Brother Reginald.
I'm out there enough. See, you don't even know what I was going to say. I'm going to ask you, do we have any questions or any comments?
Oh, okay. All praise be to Allah. Okay. Let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are on the phone, press one on your dial pad if you have a question or comment for Brother Kareem or Brother Reginald. Those of you in the chat room, type in your questions. I do have a few in Google chat, but I'm only going to ask one of those, if you know what I mean.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Liam wants to know, do you think it is wise to use the term murder?
All praise is due to God. And do I think it's wise to use the term murder?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. I do. I do believe that it is very wise to use the term murder, first and foremost, because it is the language given to us by Almighty God, Allah himself, when he gave and he taught the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Master Faraz Muhammad gave that language, and there is a reason why he gave that language. But, yes, I do believe that it is very wise to use that. And just keep listening, you know, stay tuned in, and you will see why it is wise to use the word murder. And on that note...
I was going to add to it, sure.
Oh, go ahead, brother. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm going to first define the word murder, and thanks for the question. The word murder is defined as an unlawful, premeditated killing of one human being by another. Okay. Now, if we go to Deuteronomy 32 and 42, this is what the Lord says. This is what God says. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. He will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries. So if God hates, we hate what God hates. If God is murdering or killing of people, and I think that's maybe what you're getting confused on, which they are very synonymous to each other. Moses uses in his commandments, he uses thou shall not kill. Well, we're saying murder because we have been unlawfully murdered from our mind to our spirituality, from our history, from our rise back down to our fall. We have been murdered. And don't get so caught up on the word itself. Like the brother said, he says, stick around because that question will be answered in detail for you. But the God that we serve, he fortunately murders. He murders the unrighteous, and that is what Revelation is all about. God is going to murder. He's going to kill the wicked. He's going to just destroy them. So he has done it from the beginning of the 6,000-year history, and he's going to continue to do it until the kingdom has come to this earth. And every evil and wicked and every abomination of filth will be wiped out. Because just like during the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, he killed and murdered those people because he considered what they were doing, which is involving themselves in homosexual and lesbian activity, and that was the reason he didn't even spare one. He murdered the whole city, the whole nation, including Lot's wife, for having empathy for that type of abomination of filth. So don't get so caught up on the word murder or kill, but sister, they have been killing and murdering our babies from inception since they got us off, started us on this slavery course and brought us here in the year 1555. And if you know, if you feel sorry for them, we need to go back to our history because you have forgotten. One of the historical facts that I found today and posted was they used to throw and use our babies in the river, in the lakes, for alligator bait, to catch alligators. I mean, our babies, our infants, our toddlers, which means they have no conscience. They are savages. They cave dwellers. They are the skunks of the earth. So why would you let a skunk that has done so much damage to your babies, to your moms, to your sisters, your cousins, and continue to do this and mock us with these slave movies and these, you know, give us these awards. 12 Years of Slavery was the best movie this year, or Denzel Washington, he got his award for his negative actions in the movie he played. You know, it's always them trying to subliminally mock us, and we don't catch it. And that's unfortunately, because that is murder of the mind. That's what they are doing to us. So once again, sister or brother, whoever posed the question, I forgot, but don't get so caught up on the road. I'm sorry, ma'am. Don't get so caught up on the word of murder, because they murdered Jesus, and don't ever forget that. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Brother Reginald,
thank you.
I'll pray to be Twyla.
Thank you, Brother Reginald.
Ooh, and now, okay, you have a question on the phone, Brother Kareem, if you want to take it now.
Okay, if they would just be patient, give me about 2 to 3 minutes, and we're going to take your question or your comment on the line. The word murder, according to Merriam-Webster, as Brother Reginald so aptly defined it, is defined as the crime of unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice aforethought. However, other definitions of murder are something very difficult or dangerous, from the Latin mortis, death. It's also, murder is defined as to put an end to. So, see, we can't just go by the first, because usually in the dictionary, that's what they give you. They give you the most abhorrent or the most horrible or the worst definition first. And then you also, if you look through the words of the philology of the word, oftentimes you will get at the original meaning or intent of the word as you go through. And usually it's either the third or the fourth definition, and it'll say archaic, meaning no longer used, is what they're saying. But the archaic meaning of murder is to put an end to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So here, in answer to, and we're coming directly from the lessons again, this is Law Firm Muslim Lesson Number 2, point number 38, in which the question is asked, why did God make devil? And the answer is, to show forth his power, that he is all wise and righteous, that he could make a devil, which is weak and wicked, and give the devil power to rule the earth for 6,000 years, and then destroy the devil in one day without falling a victim to the devil's civilization. Otherwise, to show and prove that Allah is the God, always has been, and always will be. And
beautiful.
Now, do you still have the question? Or they couldn't wait?
Yes, sir. Well, they just hung up. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. It could be my keyboard. Okay, here we go.
Yes, ma'am.
Walaikum.
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 Leon.
Hey, what's happening? How y'all doing? Walaikum.
Walaikum.
Walaikum, little brother.
I just want to make a statement to the question that was answered, and I would like to take my statement from the Supreme Wisdom, Lost Found Lesson Number 1, and it's dealing with why isn't the devil settled on the best part of the planet Earth? We have
the
answer because the Earth belongs to the original black man. And knowing that the devil was wicked and there would be any peace among them, he put him out in the worst part of the earth and kept the best part preserved for himself. Ever since he made it, the best part is in Arabia, the holy city of Mecca. The colored man or Caucasian is the devil. Arabia is in the Far East and is bordered by the Indian Ocean on the south. Now I want to go to the word devil is defined to us in our Supreme Wisdom Dictionary. Something difficult or ignoring, the opposite of truth or error, lies or falsehood, belief in sin, sickness and death. And the question came about how or why do we murder the devil? And how do we murder the devil? First of all, the devil is murdered by one word, Iqra, as the Holy Quran teaches in the 96th Surah, Iqra. Read in the name of thy Lord. So once you pick up something that is divinely inspired by all three men, Master Farah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and you begin to read, you begin to murder the devil. When we pick up self-improvement, basis for community development, we take these courses to murder the devil within us. When we start to read, as the Holy Quran teaches in that Surah 96, Iqra, reading the Holy Quran daily, and not only reading, but prayer. Prayer in the Holy Quran says that it keeps one from the evil and the decency, the remembrance of Allah. So every time we feel that we are going opposite, as Sister Aziza said, that rationalizing the deceptive intelligence, then we must pick up something or go to that prayer rug and pray it out. It all starts with working with the God within himself. It says, okay, in student enrollment, when we come into this class, the class of the God, we learn that the black man is God. So if the black man is God, then we have to channel our God, the God within us. And we're not only praying to the Most High, we're praying to ourselves for our own salvation. The Holy Quran teaches that each individual that believes he's in control of his own salvation. So we have to work out our own salvation. We have to start looking and reading. The minister said he wants a nation full of readers. So if we don't read and we don't study, we cannot kill the devil, point blank.
That's
can't
right.
Kill the devil. Can't kill the devil without reading. So we got to start. What we have to do is channel, as I said, channel the God within of us, in ourselves. And when we get the feeling like, oh, we can't do this, you know, you can't think negative about the situation. That has I was taught by my mentor, Brother James, was always telling me, man, you're looking at the negative in the situation. Once you start looking at the positive in the situation and bring some positive out, then you're challenging God within yourself. So that's all according to murdering the devil. It's all with bringing supreme learning, supreme mathematics that we are taught by our teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's my comment.
You better teach. Yes,
yes
sir.
Yes.
praises to
Allah. Allah Akbar.
Yes, sir. Okay. You ready for another question, Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. Come on.
All right. Area code 619. I think this is our queen, Sister Michelle.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
And how is my wonderful, beautiful, righteous family tonight?
All praises to Allah.
Okay, so here's my question. I was taught that things like racism, sexism, and all of that are devils, right?
Correct.
Okay, so Minister Ava said, and I've always wondered what she, you know, meant by this, so I'm going to put it out there to you guys. She said that you would have an easier time getting rid of racism, the devil racism, than you would that devil sexism. Can anyone possibly expound on that? I read this like 6-7 months ago in one of her books, and I just always wanted to know. So since this is a show about the devils and those are devils, then I'm going to ask you. I'm asking you.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Well, Queen Aziza, did you want to say something about that? Or do you...
Well, you say sexism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know in what context she meant that.
She was talking about the value of a woman and like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you have to understand that sex in itself is a very natural act for all
mm-hmm.
creatures. Everything reproduces. So it's not something that you need to get rid of, but it needs to be conducted under the proper situation. So lust, more so, I wouldn't personally call it sexism, but that's her term, but it would be the mm-hmm. lust effect that is often projected through the act of sex in itself. You know, that people nowadays, let's just make it plain, they're not having sex because they love one another or because they're trying to repopulate the earth. It's lust. So lust is sinful, and lust is selfish, and lust will make you greedy and will make you inconsiderate, and that is part of a devil. Now, racism is not something I really attribute to black people in particularly,
mm-hmm.
But if there is a such thing as racism, our nature, and I'm talking about the black man and woman, our nature is always righteousness. It's always been love. You know, that's why we can't get away from white folks now, because we love them so much. So that is easy. That is easier for us. It's easier for us to forgive. You know, I forgive you for hanging me, for burning me, for breaking me over the rack, for enslaving me, for depriving me of education and freedom, justice, and equality. I can forgive you for that. And the evidence of that is that black people walk around here like proud peacocks every day.
That's right.
So it's easier to forgive, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because that's our nature. We are created in the nature of the righteous God.
That's right.
But we deprive ourselves of what is ours because we have been made to be so forgiving, so complacent to the situation that it has become a negative. And that's the biggest fear. That's the biggest fear white folks have. White folks not necessarily greedy in the sense of they want the money. They are afraid that we will retaliate. That is their biggest fear of the black man and woman. And so that's what they do. But still, we forgive. So, yes, it is easier. But when we have sex, we can attribute that to our nature. But only Allah knows our heart and our intention when we engage.
That's right.
When we engage for the wrong reasons, whether the woman knows or whether the man knows, Allah knows our intention. So that is the one thing that we cannot hide from him, even if we do it in the dark.
That's right.
Because when we interact with one another for sexual reasons, then he knows our intention. We could be lying to the woman. The brothers could be macking on her. You know what I'm saying? We could be lying to the brother. We could be macking on him. But Allah knows our heart.
That's right.
And even in marriage, if you lust after your wife, there's a difference between desiring your wife, brothers, and lusting after her. Because it speaks to what is it about her that you love. Do you love her body? Her body has become an aphrodisiac for you, so that's the entity of her that you love. And you will do anything to have that entity of her love, but you don't know her mind. You don't know her spirit. You don't know what she aspires to do, but you know her body. And you could be in love with that entity of her. That's not right. And the same thing for the sisters. It's not right for you to lust after that brother because he can hang a suit, because he's smooth, he handsome, he this, he that, he got money, and I love that part of him. So you tell yourself that you love him, but you don't. You love that entity of him. So sexism is very, very broad, but it's so close to our nature that there's a fine line that we often cross. And 9 times out of 10, we don't even really know what love is. Mm. And you will never experience love if you cannot identify the love that Allah has showed for you in your lifetime. So when you identify Allah's love for you, then you know what love is. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Ma'am.
Wa alaykum salam.
All praise to Allah.
Can I attack that up, Brother Irene?
Go right ahead, bro. Go right ahead.
Okay. Now, when Sister Michelle, when you speak of, I haven't read the book, so I would have to know, you know, the pretext to her saying that and what comes after that. But sexism, I look at sexism as gender, inequality with gender. And if you look around our Muslim world, there's a great gap with the Muslim men and the Muslim women. And in the eastern part of Muslims, their Islam and the way they treat their women is totally different than the way we cherish and treat our women. They treat their women as if they're not qualified to study the word of Allah. You know, they leave them home, you know. They don't feel like they're qualified to partake in the freedom, justice, and equality that God has for every individual, every species that he has created. And because of that, that is sexism. And that has caused the demise of what I firmly believe the Muslim world in the East. But now let's come over here and let's deal with the nation of Islam. The Muslims in the Islam that we practice is not the same. Master Farad Muhammad didn't want us to be like them. In fact, he told us, he said he would give us an Arabic name, which really is not an Arabic name. It is a God's name, and we don't want to put any nationality on Allah. But he said, we are not Arabs. In fact, we are Asiatics, which means Asia means one. We're one. We're the first. We're the original. We're the origin. So sexism is a problem for the world, even outside of Islam. Sexism, genderism, where the women, I mean, I'm going to deal with the church first. Why does the church always have to have the man to bring in the word, 'cause as if the woman has no divinity? Well, you see the nation how the Minister Louis Farrakhan is showing you the beauty of a woman in her teachings in Mother Tineta Muhammad and Sister Ava Muhammad, and it's showing you how we can be balanced and we can understand that divinity comes through a woman too. In fact, she is our first God. So she has to be respected as being divine. Even though there's a hierarchy of structure that Allah has, and this harmony, it creates harmony in the universe where the man is her protector, her provider, and he makes sure that if she is going to be submissive to him, that she has a reason to be submissive to him. Other than that, then, of course, sexism is going to be involved in marriage where the man think he's better than the woman. It's going to be involved in corporations. It's going to be involved in organizations. It's the problem, not sexism. But that's not as important as racism, because the number one poison of the last 6,000 years has been white supremacy. So white supremacy, since that is the number one poison, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, white supremacy, because on the outside they look like they love you, but on the inside it's a vessel filled with nothing but poisonous venom, and it has stung everybody on the earth. Satan has deceived the whole earth, and we must understand it's good that we're talking about the Satan or the devil on the inside, but since we are not a spooky people, we have to keep it real. We're dealing right now with the Satan or the devils on the outside, because everything that we are feeling on the inside, we're victims of white supremacy. And because we're victims of white supremacy, we must understand that that has brought the worst out in us. We have become savages, and a savage is defined as, according to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the through and to the minister Louis Farrakhan, we know that the devil has destroyed our whole way of life, and we have become savages. And a savage is a person who has not lost the knowledge of themselves and is living the life of a beast. Well, in one of Mr. Louis Farrakhan's speeches or lectures, he said, in fact, we are even worse than beasts right now. Because beasts don't even treat each other the way we treat each other. I mean, you go in some of these chat rooms and you see brothers calling each other out by their names in the name of the truth and the teachings and disagreeing with each other when we should argue in the best of manners with our brothers, because we should want for our brothers what we want for ourselves. But we don't do that. We fall into the level that Satan has brought us to, because God forced him to and told him he was going to walk around on his belly for the rest of his life. And now he's turned us into serpents, which is worse than a savage. And we are switching out on each other. So not only is the white man the devil now we have another enemy that we have. We have black devils. We have black devils that come among us to cause dissension among the righteous. And because we have not prayed enough, we have not fasted enough, we have not eaten to live, we have lost the power that will allow us to discern who is good for us and who is good for us to be around. So although there is the Satan side that we must deal with, but the reality of it is Satan on the inside is not going around killing our babies. It's not going around doing police brutality. It's not going around exploiting our women on TV. It's not going around raping our babies and stealing our babies. And the Amber Alerts are going up because, you know, Satan is upset and he want to get to our babies. See, that is all a cause of white supremacy. And unfortunately, I read I heard a horrible statistic that really make me be on the watch out for all of our black brothers. And I'm going to put this statistic out there because it's necessary for us to understand that we have been infiltrated by our own. Howard University, is the number one university in the United States, not just the black universities, but all universities in the recruitment of students for the FBI and the CIA. So what does that mean? That means that you will see brothers with the tight suits. You will see brothers speaking, acting like they're listening and speaking the word, acting like they're backing the minister up, acting like they're believers. But they don't. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, because that's not who they're working for. They're working for Satan. They're agents of Satan. And because they're agents of Satan, we must be put on our whole armor of God. We have to be prepared to deal with the wiles of Satan, because what better way to get at us than to use us against our own, i.e. Malcolm X, i.e. Khalid Muhammad, i.e. Malachi York. It is an ongoing process that is happening. And when we decide to leave the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we commit suicide. And the white supremacists, they love that. They love to see the dissension, because if a nation is divided against itself, it cannot stand. But see, they plan a plan, and Allah plans a plan, and he is the best of planners. So white supremacy is the core of our issues, our problems. And for us to think any different than that, we would be fooling ourselves. And like I said, you definitely have to deal with the evil that's inside, because we are comprised of atoms, and each atom has a positive, a neutral, and a negative charge. So it's going to be the negative is in you. But our goal is to try to have the positives outweigh the negatives, so then we can be balanced. We can be neutral and spiritual and free and equal and just to ourselves. Because in the prayer, we say, forgive me for being unjust to myself. So that is why we must continue to be on the alert for the devil on the inside and the outside, because white supremacy will affect both the in and outside. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you, Brother Reginald.
All praises.
He's teaching hard tonight.
Let me say this as we move into our third question. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us this. This is in the Theology of Time. He said that if you continue to listen to me, that I will have you so smart. And now I'm going to paraphrase. He said that, in other words, as far as the Caucasian is concerned, that he would be like a little piece of string on your little finger. And you would, only reason you would know that he was present is that you look and see the piece of string as far as the Caucasian is concerned. And because to set up or to lay foundation for this third question, we go to Message to the Black Man in the chapter entitled Devil, page 105. And it would be, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Go to, it would be paragraph number 5. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. Some so-called Negroes who are in love with the devils do not like to see nor hear it being made manifest. We could lose them without ever missing them. For all who are found believing in and in love with the devils will be destroyed with the devils. Now, the world must know how to distinguish the real devils from the non-devils, for there are thousands of our peoples throughout the world who can hardly be distinguished by color from the real devil. There are certain climates which seem to change the white race into a red or brown color, and where they mix freely with our kind, their skin and eyes show a difference in color. Their eyes are brown and grayish blue. By carefully watching their behavior, you can easily distinguish them from our people, dark, brown, yellow, or red. The characteristics of their children are easily distinguished from the original children, regardless of how near in color they may be. The devil children, whenever they are around and among original children, like to show off and love to make mockery of the original children. Listen to this. They teach them evil, talk filth, sing filthy songs, filthy dancing and games, and will not leave the original children without starting a fight. Their little mouths, like their parents before them, are filled with cursing and swearing. So now our third question, and I'm going to direct this to you, Brother Reginald. Okay. Well, actually, before I do that, Queen Aziza, are there any more questions on the line or comments?
Yes, there is.
Well, let's take that first, because we want the audience participation, please.
All right. Well, we got a call from San Antonio, Texas. I think that's Brother Carl Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam, beloved. How y'all doing today?
How are you?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. And I really like this subject that y'all talking about this evening. And I think it's a wonderful show. But only thing is that I was looking at it and it was saying we discuss what it takes to murder the devil. And I know somebody else was talking about the word murder, stuck on that. You know, and me too, because how in the hell this man is justified not to be murdered because he has murdered us and everybody else on the planet of every nation, of every race. So this man is justified in being killed. You know, so he is not a man that is being murdered. He is a man that Allah himself is ready to kill. You know, so that's one of the things I wanted to take issue on that as far as murdering the devil. He deserves to be killed. And then also it says, who is the devil and why is it, he must be murdered? Well, I mean, the minister was just not too long talking about that. You know, because I'm sure he gets a lot of business like myself and sisters as well, like his daughter, Donna Muhammad, the Supreme Captain, Mustafa Farrakhan. But, and I'm sure, you know, they want to just go out and kill the devil, these devils out here. But the minister has been telling us that Allah is the one that is going to take vengeance on those who have caused us all of this pain for all of these years. So I just wanted to just clarify those two little things right there. And I'm not going to keep y'all. I'm just going to go back and listen to what y'all got to say. But thank you for allowing me to say this. And may Allah bless y'all. And keep up the good work, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
For calling in. And thank you for your constant support. Love you much. Okay,
yes,
we have another question, Brother Kareem, from out of the Google chat room from Leo44.
Yes, ma'am.
He says, how do we kill the devil in ones we love when they oppose Islam and don't realize their own wicked practices?
That's actually moving ahead, but I will answer that question in this way. As our brother, I believe it was Brother Leon earlier said about number one, the reading and the studying, the best way to kill that type of devil in the people that we love is by our practical application.
That's right.
Constant
That's
practical right. application of these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The way that we are able to kill that ever see, because number one, and like I said, we're actually moving ahead a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and delve into it so that individuals will understand, yes, we know that we are taught, and that hasn't changed. The people, and this is one of the bones of contention with a lot of people who want to say they love everybody. You know, they say that the white man is the devil or the Caucasian is the devil. Well, yes, he is. However, let's go back and understand that the Caucasian was taken or brought out of us. When the question is asked in the lessons, why did God make devil? And he responds that he made devil, in other words, to prove that besides Allah, there is no God, always has been, always will be. We have to ask the question that since there was no Caucasian on the planet before Yaqub produced him through the process of grafting, who did Allah have to prove he was God to? That's the question that we have to ask. Another question I'm going to place out there is this. Since there was no Caucasian on the planet, and since the black man, and I'm putting that in quotes now, was the head at that time running the planet, okay? And we know that Yaqub was produced out of the dissatisfied people. Then what was the thought? What was the mind? Who was so dissatisfied that they would produce a creature or a mind or an individual like Yaqub who would produce this Caucasian or this devil, which as we study the teachings, we find and we know that they are a mirror for us to show us what it's like when we are 100% given over to our wicked or evil or selfish or sexist or racist inclinations. So again, in order to kill the devil, kill these devils in someone outside of ourselves, the best thing we can do is murder the devils in self. And constantly do that. Every time, anytime, any type of devil or anything that's against the nature of Almighty God, anytime it rears its head, we got to cut its head off. We have to kill it in ourselves. And we have to be an example. Also, by sharing this word with them, by sharing righteous words with them, you are literally cutting off the head of a devil. And that would be my answer to that question. And I pray Allah that it was a sufficient answer to help the brother. As-salamu alaykum. Queen Aziza.
Queen?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking. Thank you for that answer, Kareem. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up with all these people.
Question.
Okay. No, people. Trust me.
So, yes, ma'am.
Brother Reginald, did you want to expound further on Brother Leo's question? Because we have some other questions on the line as well. Well, we have some familiar faces out there.
I agree totally with brother his response. I mean, we have to definitely deal with the evils and the negatives within. But at the same time, you got to be ready to be prepared for the one on the outside. Now, when I say, and I think of the word, we need to murder the devil, I'm not talking about physically murder the devil. I'm talking about we have the power of prayer. And once we get in tuned with the one who has the power over all things, we can pray for the end of this system of things. We can pray for the elimination of the devil altogether, because they're not going to be here forever. In fact, the sister said that one of their fears is that we're going to revolt. But we know we can't revolt against Satan and his army. That would be committing suicide, because we got our little blocks, like the minister mentioned, on the time and what must be done. We got our little, you know, pea shooters and whatnot, and some have their little AKs and whatnot.
Right.
But how in the world are you going to fight missiles coming through your head? In fact, Satan doesn't even have to use a missile now. He uses extra low frequency waves where he can put point sound towards you and put 3,000 decibels, 4,000 hertz your way, and you will submit because of the pain. It won't even kill you. It'll just make you suffer so much that you will submit. So we don't have the power physically to destroy or murder or kill the devil. But what we do have the power of prayer. We do have the power in fasting. We do have the power in reading and studying and learning and doing what the commander-in-chief, our commander-in-chief, is commanding us to do. We can't be dropping the ball. We can't be happy about what he commands us to do for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then next thing you know, everybody has lost their zeal. We can't be that kind of a people when we got that kind of man. And I miss. He's playing his role of being Jesus, and we're supposed to be the disciples. But we're not being disciples, a lot of us. And in fact, the hypocrites and the non-believers, they are playing the role of Judas. And they don't even know that they're going to be committing suicide just like Judas did. Because we know we got the right man on the scene who's giving us unadulterated truth. Not for just his own good, but for the salvation of the people that he honestly loves, that he sincerely loves. And he's not vain, and he knows how to make sure that the people know that it's for them. It's not for him. He don't care anything about his life, as a matter of fact. It's our lives that he is trying to save. So we must start back or start over or rededicate ourselves to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left and how to eat to live. We got to start eating one meal a day. Come on, we know. We just witnessed the worst weather in about 10, 15 years. And the minister has been telling us for the last 2 to 3 years, watch the weather. Okay, that's almost prophecy. That's prophecy, and we're living in all of his prophetic speeches and lectures and all of the prophetic messages that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us. We're living it now, so there's no excuse. So if you're not getting in tune and we're not following the directions of what the commander-in-chief is giving us for our benefit, for our protection, so that we can put up a hedge against the things that's going to be coming our way. Because it's Satan. When Satan gets angry, he's going to be sending all kinds of darts. He's putting stuff in the food. He's putting stuff. He's teaching our kids in the school things that they are born into the world not to believe. And because they're born in the world not to believe, he'll say that they have an issue, a mental problem. They need to be on Ritalin. They're giving our young girls, 13 years old, shots, HPV shots, talking about it'll help them where they won't develop ovarian cancer. I mean, you know, these types of things is called genocide. And for you to be loving and taking up for this devil, and it is purely kind of unwise. It's unwise for you to like what God hates. That means you are in rebellion to the will and the way of God. And I'm not trying to be vain, because everything I'm saying to myself first, not to the audience or who's ever listening. I'm speaking to myself, because I, too, must increase my dedication. I too must increase my zeal and get and start doing exactly what the commander-in-chief is telling us to do. And if we do that, then we can probably, Allah will give us mercy and have mercy on those who are called, because many are called, and it's a few that are chosen. It's 144,000 that are supposed to govern this earth. We're trying to be in that number, and the only way we can make it to that number is to submit our entire will to do the will of Allah, which is Islam, and that's the nature of a Muslim, and we must begin to speak the mathematical language of science and mathematics to our people, because they've already been fooled with the way that the church is teaching them and mixing truth with falsehood. So the biggest deception is the deception of Jesus, and now we know who the Jesus is, and we should be so happy to teach about the black Jesus, the exalted Christ that came forth in the Jesus in our midst today. I mean, that should be like, we should be so happy to teach that when you find out, like the minister, when you find out who you are and you know the truth, you can't hold yourself down. So we need to rededicate ourselves to the mission at hand, because the mission is not complete. And thank you for the question. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, Leo says, thank you, but they hard-headed.
Well, we know this.
Leo, just keep praying for him. Just keep praying for him, sugar. Look, work out your own salvation. We're in the valley of decision. You have a decision to make, and so do they. So you keep praying for them. You keep teaching them, and let them make the decision. At the end of the day, they're going to be judged by their own merit, and you'll be judged by yours. So let it
That's
go.
Right.
Okay. Let me, we have some questions on the line, Brother Kareem. Do you want to take them now?
If they will be patient, give me a minute and a half. If they give me a minute and a half, then we're going to take their questions and their comments, those on the phone line, please. The reason for that is because our time is growing short, so I want to move forward here. And the thing is we need to definitely understand the difference between Satan and devil. Now, devil, as we know, devil can be anyone. Devil can be, in other words, an unrighteous person, individuals who are operating against their nature. That's devil. As it said, any live germ grafted from original. Satan, however, is the chief. Satan is the one who influences. Satan is the one who controls. Satan is the mastermind of wickedness.
That's right.
And I wanted to share that. The other thing is I want to lay this out here. In the study guide, the very first one, self-improvement, the basis for community development. And anybody that knows, if I'm incorrect, please correct me. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in that first study guide, named four devils at that time, and he named those as polytheism, nationalism, sexism, and racism at that time. More recently, the four devils that we must bring, it says, why does Muhammad and any Muslim murder the devil? What is the duty of each Muslim in regards to four devils? It says all Muslims must murder the devil. You must bring the four devils and present them at one time. And of late, those four devils were listed as polytheism, adultery and fornication, and that's just one, adultery and fornication together. The third one is lying. The fourth is stealing. And now, having put that out there, all right, let's go to the phones and take the questions or comments, please. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Queen Aziza?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, hold on, hold on. I'm on mute. Through the Minister Andre. Let me see if he can hear me.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I got your call earlier, but I was actually, you know, in class, so I could not answer
yes,
at the
sir.
Time.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Of course, first of all, let me give the greetings to you and also to the distinguished panel, Brother Reggie and also Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I just actually got home. I just walked in the door. I've been on for about, I guess, maybe five to seven minutes. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of trying to get familiar with the subject matter. If I'm correct, I know it's talking about how to murder the devil, and I'm not too sure about the second part of it, but I do have an idea about the subject matter.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Stick around, brother. We need you.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Well, when you get ready to comment, let me know if you want to comment now or you want to comment later. I'll leave your mic open.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know if
and...
was there a question asked already or was there a question asked already for me to comment on or were you in the process of asking a question?
Brother Kareem probably has some more questions coming up. As a matter of fact, I'm sure of it.
Okay.
So we're going to take a question from another phone line, and then Brother Kareem will come back and ask a question. So
okay. Let
me see. I'm getting good because I'm memorizing these phone numbers. I think this
I
is my nephew, Eugenio.
As-salamu alaykum to everyone.
Wa-alaikum, brother.
Yes, it's such a lovely topic to touch on because it's, my auntie can already testify. She knows that this certain subject came up within me a few months ago. So once I saw the title of the topic, I said, oh, no. Yes, I do have to tune in for this. But here's my comment for it. One of the things that I've noticed when it comes to the frequency and the signals that the devil, the Satan, they're everywhere. Master Farad Muhammad said that one day we would allow the devil openly into our homes, and we have that with not only this television, but even this internet and these mobile devices. And so I noticed now that I'm becoming more aware of my surroundings as well as when I come into contact with people, my people, other people, you can sense certain things. You can sense their feelings. You can sense, I'm starting to sense thoughts. But now when a person can begin to educate themselves and they're able to read and read past the foolishness and the falsehood that's placed in the history books, which the devil went and, messed up, when you get the right teacher, it fills your heart. When you go into the grocery store and you turn away from the processed food, and you know that the processed food is a devil in a way because all it's going to do is contaminate your body. And then you'll turn yourself to the right food. Same thing when it comes to drinking. Instead of drinking all the sodas, you start to read. Hmm? You start to educate yourself. And when you educate yourself, now you become empowered. You start to know that these little chemicals that they put in the foods, in the drink, then they're not good for you, that they will harm you, and not in the short term, but also the long term. So all these things I see also as devils, all the things that, even the music. I know Brother Reginald was touching about the music last week. The music has an awful frequency. They've changed out. They took the drum away from us, the dance steps away, and they've changed that little beat. But in a way, it still resides within us. But that's just the comment I wanted to make, that devil, that Satan, he has placed himself in so many other facets in our society that we also have to be observant of those things and use prayer on a daily basis. When we feel that we're getting weak, we call on Allah, call on him, and he will strengthen you and to allow your spirit and your eyes to be open to sense these things coming so that you can deal with them accordingly. So that's all I have to say, and please continue with the program, and I'll just continue to listen. Thank you so much. Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you,
Allah Akbar.
Yes, sir, absolutely. All right. Beautiful. We are now down into our last 28 minutes or so of the broadcast. I want to just say that I believe we've been making great progress and thank everyone who has participated, and hopefully there'll be some others who participate before we get out of here. The next question I have, and since we have Student Minister Andre on the line, I'm going to direct this question to you. I just went over it briefly. However, the question is, what are the four devils?
Oh, man. Man. Well, let me first of all begin the proper way. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, that self-guided one, the great Mahdi, who showed us favor and came here 9,000 miles by himself and found one worthy with whom he deposited within himself within that person, who we know has changed the outlook for black people in America and all over the world, who we now recognize as the exalted Christ, who is in power. And I further bear witness that the man that's in our midst today, who is exposing not only the enemy, but the actions and the mind of the enemy to us as black people, who is walking the pages of scripture and who we recognize now as that comforter who would guide us into all truth and is guiding us in all truth, who is still on his post at 80 years old, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I greet you with those three people with the universal greetings of peace. And we say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam, sir.
The four devils, man, that could, wow. That is, oh man, that really is a very profound question, because, you know, those four devils can range so many different ways and can go so far deep until, man, it's hard to fathom. But, you know, to be very brief, and well, we really can't be brief on a question like that. That's the means of why. I know fornication and adultery, lying and stealing. Those are three.
Mm-hmm.
And, then the other one, like I said, it can cover so many spheres, so many different spheres. And the four, you know, I'm not too really sure about the fourth one, but I do know the fornication and adultery, lying and stealing. Is also,
I think, jealousy
one of those.
And envy is some too. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, because, you know, it could range either way, you know, and this is why it's so important, you know, when that question is asked of us, that we present the four devils. Well, which the devils are there? You know, we've been in a society that has presented to us so many different kinds of devils, you know, and to really gather it or, you know, section it down to four is a hard task because we as a people have been so fictionalized and strategized by this world that we live in until we, you know, it's hard for us to categorize four actual devils that we can focus on. But we do know that the ones that are most important, that are so very important in our makeup, in our character, in our disposition, and in our nature, until lying, we know that's one. Stealing is one, because these are the characteristics that the actual devil was given when he was on an island of Pelon, because they lied to us. They stole, and they still are stealing from us. So we have to characterize it sort of on that same pattern to a certain extent, because those are the characteristics that was given to them when they were on that island. That was the particular literature that was given to them, lying and stealing and murdering. And to a certain extent, you know, the fornication and adultery, that can go either way. But we do know that the fornication and adultery is a part of that, because of the nature of both of those dealing with the family and dealing with responsibility. So jealousy and envy could also fall in that same category, but at the same time, you know, it can go either way. So I'm going to leave the first one open, but I do know the second, third, and the fourth deal with the fornication and adultery, and then the lying and the stealing, because those, you know, I used to always hear my grandmother say that if you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, then you'll kill. You know, so all of those things fall in the same line to a certain extent. But we have to be careful because it ranges so many different ways until it's really kind of hard to focus on four at the same, or just four, because we have been so conditioned by this society to lie, to steal, to commit fornication and adultery. Because, you know, we also have to realize, too, that the Quran tells us that evil has been made fair seeming. You know, because so many people do it seems like it's right. So many people are doing the same thing all over the place, especially in this country. You can't name a city in the United States that has some form of homosexuality, whether it's the man or the woman. You know, you can't go to a particular city and say that it does not exist, because it does. You cannot go to a particular city and say that lying and stealing is not going on, because it does. All of these areas, you have it going on in every city in this country, pretty much. And to be realistic about it, it does go on in every city. There's not a city in this country that doesn't have that problem. So those problems exist, and we know it because we see it every day. Jealousy and envy, of course, that is also another problem. But, you know, with those two, it can go either way. And I don't want to sound like I'm being too complex about it, because we really have to get down to a point where we can focus on just four devils that we can present and get rid of. But like I said again, here it is again, you know, it's kind of hard to focus on just four, but we do know that those three, the fornication, the adultery, the lying, and the stealing, are definitely ones that we have to work on, because those are so broad and so practiced nowadays, until you can't expect not somebody to lie on you, to lie to you, or in some way, form, shape, or fashion on a daily basis. What is the, you know, whoever that you're dealing with on a day, somebody has lied to you. Somebody's lied to me today, probably. You know, so all of us have experienced that in some form or fashion on a daily basis, and it affects our character. It affects the way we think. It affects how we deal with people to a certain extent. If you're not conscious enough to be righteous about it, it affects you. So, Brother Kareem, I mean, like I said, that question is very profound, and it's not really a correct answer to it if you really get down to the point and focus, but you can focus on those three And, of course, you can throw jealousy and envy in there, too, as well, like Sister Aziza said. But, again, that's, you know, how, like I said, again, that's a profound question. And, you know, to answer it one way, it just wouldn't, give it the proper understanding that it should or it should go from that matter. That's why when the master, the God was, when he asked that question, or when he gave it, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave the answer to that question, he didn't go into detail. He just said four devils. He didn't say which ones. Because, you know, like, again, you can't really focus on, you can focus on four, but they're so broad and go so many, so different ways and say, man, you know, you got this branch that goes this way and that one line, and, man, Brother Cram, I'm going to leave that one. Like I say, I'm going to answer it those three. And then the fourth one, you know, is kind of up in the air. And hopefully, like I say, if somebody can help me out. I am, you know, still a student, of course, and I'm still learning just like everybody else. So that's how I will answer that question.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you so much, brother. And, I mean, your answer was just fine. It's very astute. Let me say this, and I do understand what you mean about it can go in so many different directions, and yes, envy and jealousy. However, let us remember, we do everything mathematically, and right. We know that the number four represents preparation and foundation.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, so yes, that sir. Being the case, and I read them off earlier, as like I said, if we go back to the very first study guide, self-improvement, the basis for community development. If I remember correctly, and like I said, if I'm incorrect, somebody can correct me on it, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in that study guide named four devils at that time.
Right.
And he named it as polytheism.
Yes. Oh,
nationalism, sexism, and racism at that time.
Right.
More recently, at a meeting, I'm going to say it like that, we were given polytheism, adultery and fornication together as one, lying and stealing.
Right.
And with those four as the basis or the foundation, that's why polytheism is at the top of the list, because polytheism really is the sin. When we begin to worship anything other than Almighty God, Allah, then we leave ourselves open to these other manifestations. I mean,
right.
See, if one is only worshiping the creator of the heavens and the earth, then we don't open ourselves up for adultery or to be an adulterer or a fornicator.
Right,
and
right.
I
yes,
said that because when you look at the word adultery, now the word adultery is defined as voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. Well, so when we look at that, like I said again, understanding that we couldn't even participate in that kind of activity, we can't participate in that kind of activity, adultery or fornication, when we are submitting our will 100% to do the will of Almighty God Allah. We can't do that when we are, so we're not practicing polytheism. But when we are practicing polytheism, and one of the signs that there is polytheism in us, dealing with the adultery and the fornication, and the reason that is so connected is because the marriage between the husband and the wife is synonymous with, or the ultimate expression of, the union between the human being and God himself. That's what marriage is. So it also bespeaks to the fact that when we practice polytheism, we're practicing adultery and fornication on the quote-unquote spiritual level, if you will, because we've exited out of that sacred bond, that sacred binding of, say, as like the husband and the wife, we moved out of that bond with God, which is supposed to be exclusive between God and us. Therefore, we are participating in lying because we made a vow. We vowed that we would be true to one individual. We vowed that when we take the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, then when we move out and begin to practice polytheism, then we lie. We automatically lie. And we're definitely stealing because all of our sustenance, everything we get, comes from the God. So now we're in a position where since we've turned against that source, we're going totally some another direction and worshiping something or someone else, then we don't deserve what we're giving. So what we're receiving, we're stealing. You know, but it wasn't my intention to teach this evening. It's really, like I say, I just wanted to hopefully share that with you. You know,
yes, sir.
Queen Aziza, because I know our time is getting short, do we have anybody else on the phone line or anybody else in the chat room that has a question or comment before we just deal with the panel?
I'm sorry, the phones are turning over. Okay. Those of you who may be just calling in, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your question or comment now. We have a question from KCB in the chat room.
Okay.
And he says he does not understand how you murder a devil.
Praise be to Allah. I was going to ask. I'm ready to answer that question.
Well. You know what? I'm glad because you know what? We are in the last 13 minutes, and I'm going to come to you first, and I'm going to go to Brother Reginald because that's our final question. How do we murder the devil? So you go right ahead, bro.
Praise be to Allah. You know, the scripture is so profound, and a lot of times we overlook when we start talking about when we come to the process of murdering the devil. In Ezekiel, when he's talking about those dry bones represent a dead or unproductive people that have been put to sleep or that have been rendered incapable or unproductive by an entity that is considered to be a devil. Now, the word of God came. He spoke to him. He said, speak the word of God. The word of God came and gave life to those bones, and they started to come together. So the word of God, to a certain extent, can give life to an entity or an individual. It gave life to those bones where they started to come together and come back to their original state or their original disposition and nature. In 2 Thessalonians, it says that the God will come after the workings of the devil, and he would consume him with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. So the devil in the Holy Quran, or Satan, or Iblis, you know, he's referred to as all of those three, but there's a condition of each one of those three, but I'll just use the term devil. He said that he would come and wait in the straight path. Well, what is the straight path? The straight path is the word of God, or that spirit of God that gives life to the people through revelation, through wisdom, because wisdom is a light. Wisdom is a special kind of light that allows you to see through the darkness of falsehood and wickedness. And falsehood and wickedness are both conditions of the devil. So with the word of God, you kill that spirit or that mind or that disposition or that nature of the devil through the word. As we know, that word goes and gives life to those bones in Ezekiel. It gave life to those bones. It killed that old dead spirit. It killed that old inconsistent, incapable, or unproductive spirit that allowed them to be dry. Dry means it does not have life in it. So that word gave life to them and caused them to grow back together and pick up that old, that same or that original nature or disposition that they had from the beginning. So if the word is what kills the devil, it will murder him. It will murder the offspring. It will murder also the incapacities and inconsistencies that are laid within that person and give him life. Because it was the word that he consumed the devil with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. So whenever, just like the flash of lightning, whenever the flash of lightning comes, it gives a bright light. People get scared of it sometimes. But it also gives, it shines, or it gives light to that wickedness or that falsehood, where it starts to hide and starts to duck and want to move out of the way. Because the brightness of it, it shows forth the wickedness and the falsehood of the devil. So it hides. It doesn't want to be brought forth into the light. So when that lightning flashes, it backs up and gets out of the way. The brightness of his coming, he was so bright, it said the Master Prophet Muhammad, they couldn't even see past him because he was so bright that he couldn't see past him. So when it means it's so bright, the devil ain't even going to be able to, when it comes to a certain point, the brightness of the spirit of his mouth is going to, in the Holy Quran, it says that we knock out the brains of truth, knocks out the brains of falsehood. I think that's in Surah 21, if I'm not mistaken. It knocks out the brains of falsehood. It knocks out the disposition and the nature of the devil, which is falsehood. So it is through the word that we murder the devil. That's my answer to that question there, dear brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. And Brother Reginald.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the question.
Go ahead, brother.
Thank you for the question, brother. Wow. I kind of touched on this earlier when I mentioned that you know, we really can only kill the devil on the inside, because trying to kill the devil on the outside, we're not equipped with that type of weaponry. We're not equipped with that type of power to kill him on the outside. But what we do have is we do have the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We do have those as a weapon. And the minister has been teaching now for 53 straight weeks, which means we have a lot of truth. We have so much truth to study. That's a volume of truth to study and compare. So we have that to look forward to when we come into contact with those who don't believe, with those who are being taught, or truth has been mixed with falsehood, to those who even want to be atheists. We have so much weaponry now that I like to consider the time and what must be done as a weapon of mass destruction. So we have the truth. Like the brother just said, what will truth do? It will knock out the brains of falsehood. And everybody knows the riddle. Truth and lie went swimming one day. And truth and well-dressed lie went swimming, and the well-dressed lie, both of them took off their clothes to get in the pool, and the well-dressed lie got out the pool before the truth. And the well-dressed lie put on the clothes of the truth and started running. And the truth we have been chasing, the truth has been chasing the well-dressed lie since. Well, we don't have to chase the lie anymore, because we got volumes. We got Minister Farrakhan. He's been with us now. He's 80 years old, like the brother said in his salutation. So, I mean, we got volumes and volumes and volumes of truth to hurl at Satan and his agents. We got truth to hurl at Satan on the inside. We got truth to hurl at the non-believers and the hypocrites. We have all this truth, and that's not one of our biggest weapons that we can use against killing Satan. So when we hurl truth at falsehood, we can consider it murder because it's premeditated when you study, when you pray, when you fast, when you eat to live, when you submit your entire will to do the will of God. You have defeated, when you do those things, which are some of the basic practices and principles of Islam, when you do those things, giving charity, when you do those things, then you have equipped yourself and you have put on, like the Bible says, the whole armor of God. And you must put on the whole armor of God by continuing to study the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. So we have now where this teachings are, should be so empowered in our bones that the bones, we should be rattling. We should be excited. We should be happy. We shouldn't be down at this time. We shouldn't be dismayed and competing against those who don't want to believe. Like Jesus said, you know, when he sent his disciples out to the Gentiles, if they want to listen, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, putting it in modern terms, if they want to listen, you know, you're going to tell them the truth, because y'all going to, don't change my teachings, just tell them the truth. If you're going to, if they listen, good. If they don't, brush your shoulders off and kick the dust off your feet and keep it moving on to the next. So that's what we got to do, because the harvest is still ripe, but the workers are just diminishing. It's diminishing because we've lost the zeal. We've lost the zeal of what the principles of Islam is. And unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity because of me not being registered in the Nation of Islam yet. I haven't had the opportunity to sit down and study the lessons. And the one reason why, I mean, I've seen them on the internet, but when I truly believe that when you have those lessons that you need to be, you know, you need to be nourished and you need somebody around you explaining like you're doing tonight. See, I'm learning. Remember, brother, I told you in the beginning, I'm going to be learning. So you're teaching, I'm listening to these lessons because I couldn't answer the four devils, but I'm learning, and as I'm learning, I'm taking notes and I'm listening, and I'm saying, okay, I'm getting all of this food right now. All of this food is coming to me, so it's gonna improve the way that I, you know, go out and try to win people over with the truth. And the way you do that is you got to do it by example. And I'm trying, and we must try to continue to live by example, because everything that glitter isn't gold. So if we continue to live by example, we'll continue to kill the Satan within. We'll continue to kill the little devils on the outside, because they have no power over us but what we give them. So we have that type of power to kill them in that fashion. So we don't want to. We're not an unlawful people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Queen Aziza, we want to go to the lineup.
Well, we have one more person on the line, and I want to bring him in because we hadn't heard from him in so long.
Go right ahead.
Area
go
code
right
832.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Well, sis, how are you? I just would like to do a real quick comment.
Wait. Let me tell you about this. Is my little brother, y'all. I love him so much, and he has been on and off since the very, very beginning. And I love you, Brother Rashid, and your wife, Sister Pat, from H-Town. Thank you so much for letting us hear your wonderful voice again. And he's a singer, too. I just wanted to put that out there.
Praise be to Allah.
That's right. I'll praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. I would just like to add a comment. From listening to you, brothers, of course, you guys all so eloquently explained how to kill a devil. And I would just like to add a little something And from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I heard the brother say a minute ago that we must always use mathematics. And to kill any devil, we must do as Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. We must first start with self. In order to kill a devil, who is the devil? The devil,
come
we
on.
Know that Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, the devil is not a person or a thing. The devil is a characteristic or energy that suppresses the will of God in man and through man. So to me, beloved, if killing the devil, the way I strive to kill the devil is by increasing my submission to allow the God that's in me to be more manifested. If I kill the devil in me and manifest God, we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that truth and falsehood can't occupy the same space. So if I become
right.
God or become like God, then whatever devil that may exist around me or professing something that they know is not good for them, I kill that devil, because that devil, that negative energy or anything that exists that is not in line with the will of Allah, it has to die when Allah is on the scene. So I kill the devil by increasing God in me. That's all I want to add, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Rashid. You better teach. You better teach and represent 45 very well. Thank you, dear brother.
I'm just
love you much.
I'm striving, sir. I'm striving.
All praises
yes,
to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. It was so good to hear from Brother Rashid. It's been a minute. Okay, well, let me give the lineup. Of course, I want to announce first that our beloved brother, Brother Jihad, out of Atlanta, who is our host for Tuesday out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam, is going to have to take a sabbatical for personal reasons, but he is well in his health, but there's just some things he needs to take care of. And so we're going to be doing a series of rebroadcasts. So we're going to start with the history of the Nation of Islam, part one, tomorrow with Student Minister Akbar. There's a three-part series for that. And by the end of that, inshallah, Brother Jihad will be back with us. So don't miss those broadcasts. And if you can, get your babies and put them around the computer or put them on, you know, put your phone on speaker and let them hear this magnificent history, because if I'm not mistaken, it starts in 1930 and brings us all the way up to present day. So you will have the Captain Emeritus is on there. You have Brother Curtis and Brother Captain Dennis, Minister Akbar, Student Minister Rahman, Student Minister Biha, I mean, all of the, what we call the veterans of the Nation of Islam are in these series. And so if you can get your babies and get them around the computer so they can hear the history of the Nation of Islam as well, be very beneficial to them. So that's going to air part one tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central right here. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Season Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show at 7 p.m. And on Thursday, I will be back at 8 p.m. with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, and he's going to be starting part one of his series of Building a Happy Family, Building a Happy Nation. And that is going to be a four-part series that he's going to do about how to make our marriages better, our relationships better, you know, our family life better with our children. It's going to be a wonderful series, so please join me for that. And, of course, on Friday, Student Minister James will be back for our live study group, put on the new man at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, join us for Young, Gifted, and Black and Let Us Make Man. We are teaming up with Let Us Make Man this Saturday, and we're doing part one of the question and answer series. Now, we're the MTT are going to question the FOI about the commitment to the pledge that they took at the Million Man March on October 16, 1995. And we're going to ask them to recommit to that pledge, and we're going to ask them why they have not committed to that pledge. And so they're going to answer us about our concerns about the state of the black nation in our community. So please do not miss that. Let me put a disclaimer out there. This is not FOI bashing, but we are reminding the men out of love that we know that you are the backbone of this nation. We know that this nation was built on your backs, out of your blood, out of your sweat, and out of your tears. And therefore, we are building a new nation. And so we want to remind them of the pledge, and we're going to ask them how to address certain issues in our community. So I don't want nobody to get the wrong idea. So I just want to clarify that. And on Sunday, join us with our new host for a new show that we have coming up called The Movement. And that show is going to be hosted by Brother Tony Muhammad out of Joliet, Illinois. As you know, Brother Vernon has taken a sabbatical as well because Brother Vernon is getting married in March, and, of course, he'll be back probably May or June, whenever, you know, whenever the honeymoons die down. I hope it never ends, but whenever it dies down. But, of course, we want to yield to Brother Vernon and bless him in his new marriage and wish him much success. So we want to give him some time off of that. And, of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with you, Brother Kareem, and did we get a sneak peek at the topic?
Absolutely. All praise is due to Allah. Next Monday, we will be here, be it the will of Allah, and our topic is hard trials are necessary to establish the truth.
Ooh. Okay, let me write that down. Hard trials are okay, let me tell y'all right now, anybody volunteering to be on the panel, press one.
Right now.
Right now. So I can get your name and your number. Okay.
Could you repeat that one more time, brother?
It's hard trials are necessary to establish the truth.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, I only have one volunteer, Sister Michelle, are you volunteering?
Yes, ma'am, because I know about those hard trials.
I know you do. I know you have a testimony, sister. I know you do.
Yes.
And what about you, student minister Andre?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You can call me. Yes.
Okay, all right. Brother Reggie, I don't see one on yours, so. But that's okay.
I'm sorry. I'll be there, yes, ma'am. If I'm invited, if it's the will of Allah, I will be there. Thank you.
And I want to thank the listening audience, all of you who participated for calling in, and all of you in the chat rooms, in Blog Talk, and in Google. My Yahoo is down, but inshallah, it'll be up by Thursday. And so, hold on. Oh my, okay. I'm sorry, I had a question pop up, and they want to know if Brother Reginald is married. No, Brother Reginald is not married.
Okay. Tell him I'm married to these teachings.
Oh, I guess you heard
Ooh.
That.
I really am. I'm just so in love with these teachings right now. I am really in love with these teachings, and I thank Almighty God Allah every day for allowing me just to be a student of this truth, because I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, and I had so much truth mixed with falsehood that, you know, it did so much damage to my mind that finally I just feel like, you know, amazing grace, and I've been, you know, rescued because of listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So please don't take that the wrong way. I don't want to seem vain or anything like that, but I'm just passionate about this truth and saving my people.
All praises to Allah.
I'm a lady.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna call her name out, but she got her answer. She just said, "Aw." I don't know what that means, but okay. That's funny. Okay.
Allah Waka. That's what she should have said.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's
I'm
what
just
I'm
saying.
Thinking.
Okay.
That's
I
what
said
I was
it,
thinking
you know?
For themselves. All praise
right.
to Allah.
You
got
to go to
I
the teachers to get
brother.
To that, brother.
I love my little brother. He is such a wonderful, wonderful young man, and he has been such a tremendous help to Nation Builder Movement. And, you know, when you find rare gifts like this, I don't want to misuse him, but I do not want to let his talents go unheard. And that's how I've met all of my hosts, just by randomly picking them off of Facebook. And what a wonderful, wonderful gift all of you have been to me, and especially you, Brother Kareem. That's my man, 100 grand, I always say. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for participating. May Allah continue to bless us with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, and our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Walaikum salam.